W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. 11 current or former East Cleveland police officers facing charges including assault, dereliction of duty, and violation of civil rights.
There have been criminal acts or a series of criminal acts committed by these officers of the East Cleveland Police Department. The citizens of East Cleveland deserve better. The public deserves better.
Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Michael O'Malley says that brings the total number of officers charged to 16 in the past 7 months. A Justice Department civil rights investigation into the Louisville, Kentucky Police Department has found a pattern of unlawful and discriminatory conduct. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
The report finds that LMPD uses excessive force, including unjustified neck restraints and the unreasonable use of police dogs and tasers.
The investigation was launched after the killing of Breonna Taylor in her apartment. The San Bernardino Sheriff's Office confirms 3 people have been found dead in welfare checks requested since the area's winter storm. This is ABC News. FAA Acting Administrator Billy Nolen facing scrutiny from a Senate panel on a string of airline incidents.
We've had 6 close calls in just the last couple of weeks, and any close call really is not acceptable, and that's what the acting administrator is saying. But he's also saying at the same time that the system is safe. Look, we have 45,000 departures every single day. Millions of people are flying, and there has not been a single air crash in the United States that has been deadly since 2009. We are the gold standard when it comes to aviation safety, but still, all of these incidents coming up all within a couple of weeks is unsettling for a lot of Americans and the agency.
ABC News transportation reporter Sam Sweeney. California-based Relativity Space had to abort the launch of its rocket that's made entirely of 3D-printed parts over a temperature issue. The rocket remains on the pad at Cape Canaveral. On this International Women's Day, 2 girls who escaped from years of Boko Haram captivity met with Pope Francis at the Vatican. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The city of Madison plans to take car makers Kia and Hyundai to federal court for making their vehicles too easy to steal. Those makes have been targets of widespread thefts in recent months. The mayor says Madison drivers deserve better. Governor Evers tells WisPolitics.com there will be an increase in shared state revenue to local governments in the next budget. Evers says the biggest increase in shared revenue in the last 15 years was only 0.04%.
Not 40, but 0.04%. That's crazy. How can you operate a municipality? I don't care if you're a 300 people township or city of Milwaukee.
Particulars on spending increases are still unclear. Republicans are busy reworking the 2-year spending plan. In sports, the Bucks beat Orlando last night. The Badgers take on Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoyed by the sly, so enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
More at LatunchesPalette.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Zoe, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
I was hoping you'd do Howling for Wolves. I was ready to howl. Hey, welcome. It's International Women's Day, and we have a woman's show today, Zoe, and we're going to pop up our first guest here, and hopefully she's ready, but we're really, really excited to have this young lady on, and are you there, young lady?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you. Just can't see you, that's all. I'm all confused. You can put your camera on or if you can, or if you can't, that's fine too. But please introduce yourselves to our wide listening audience. And this is just like really great to have you on, Sarah. It's International Women's Day, and we're really excited to have you on. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and I'm really excited about your campaign. And we always talk locally, because that's one of the things we can do is control local politics and our politicians. So welcome.
Yep. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I was trying to get the camera to work. So my name is Sarah Jost, and I'm running for St. Paul City Council here in Ward 3 in St. Paul. And so that includes the McAllister Groveland area and the Highland area in West 7th. And I have grown up in Ward 3. I live nearby the Groveland Park area. And, you know, I'm running because I think that we have a really great opportunity here in the city of St. Paul to have someone that can help us accomplish our dreams. And, you know, we have, to me, that means making sure we're building communities. So building relationships between the folks all over our ward and all over our city. And also it means that we're connecting our communities to our government, you know, to make sure that we can provide systems that are going to work for everyone and be built to last. And that's something that I've done, you know, at the community level. I've been active my whole life here in Ward 3. I also have been, you know, active in building up our community professionally, which I do as an engineer. So I work as a civil engineer, which means building up our, you know, our buildings and bridges and roads and our water systems, everything that we depend on day to day. And I think that, you know, we could use that expertise at the city level, since that's a lot of decisions that our city councilors make, you know, what type of things are we going to provide? How much money are we going to spend on them? That type of thing. But also I'm bringing, you know, along with that expertise in my professional background, the passion that I've had to serve my community, you know, community that I've grown up in, that's given me so much. So I'm really excited about that opportunity. You know, we're working really hard on our campaign to bring everyone together. So that we can make sure everyone's included as we're building up our voices together in order to accomplish these goals.
That's awesome. And I just got to let everybody know, of course, we're all over civic media in Wisconsin and here in Minnesota and the Twin Cities, that you're a BIPOC person. And it's really important for me to bring that up for this show, but also just because of we went to the same high school, but I went to St. Paul Central, 40 years ago or somewhere around there, a million years ago. And you're a somewhat new graduate. And it's good to see great people coming out of our high school. And what are the main things that you think you can bring with to the table? Because we have a pretty progressive area here. And but also sometimes that also means status quo happens. And I know me walking into the city council chambers and looking at white people giving Native Americans food and blankets and things like that makes me uncomfortable and makes me feel like I really don't belong here. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that, I am a person of color. I was adopted from India, and I'm used to feeling something, a lot of those feelings, you know, being one of the only people in the room. A lot of the times I mentioned I'm an engineer, on this International Women's Day, only like 15% of civil engineers are women. Yet they have such a huge impact on our built environment. Those are the things that we design and build. And so I think, you know, in terms of what we can do to advance, you know, progressive politics. When I think about progressive politics, the big thing I think about is inclusivity, making sure we're elevating voices that haven't been heard in the past. Because if we're working on, solutions and we want to make sure they're going to work for everyone, we need to have all those folks at the table. And so that's one of the big things I think about is inclusivity, and also just educating each other to think outside of the area in which you live, you know, particularly in the Ward 3 area. It's a very privileged area, but we need to expand folks' thinking to everyone in St. Paul. You know, the policies our city council comes up with impact the entire city. And that's really what being progressive means to me, is that we're thinking about everyone. We're trying to do our best to listen and educate ourselves about folks that don't look like us or have different identities. And we're going to, you know, make sure that everyone is being included and that we're looking at all of the stakeholders, everyone in our city, when coming up with our policies.
How can people find out more about you?
Yeah, so they can find out more about me on our website at sarajost.com. So SARAJOST.com. We have our website there. There's information about me. We have, for our campaign, we have the DFL precinct caucuses coming up on March 19th. So if you live in Ward 3, it's a great opportunity to have your voice heard. We also have ways to donate to our campaign. You know, we can't continue to build our community-centered campaign without continuing to raise funds to do that work. There are ways to donate as well. And there's ways to get connected with us. We're on all the social media. Our email is also up there, and our phone number, too.
Well, I know I want to keep you a little bit here longer, and we're going to have commercials, and then I'm going to keep you just a little bit longer. And I know you're campaigning, making phone calls, and I live in your ward, and I'm really excited for you and to support you as much as I can. And Wendy felt bad tonight because she was in another meeting and she wanted to be on with you. I just wanted to let you know that you have support here on Jefferson Avenue here. What made you want to run? I mean, this is a big step. you know, but it's a necessary step. And it's one of those things where people, you know, wonder why somebody didn't do something, and then they realize they were somebody. You know, what was your big push into this?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's something I'd always been interested in, serving my community. I got a lot of that from Central High School. I was involved with the Young Democrats, and that's when I first learned, like, how to organize with young people and speak up. And so it's been something that's always been interesting to me. I think what really motivated me to run was, especially in Ward 3, you know, our family decided that we're going to raise our family here. We're going to be here for a while. And we wanted, you know, I wanted our family and our kids to have a great experience growing up, you know, like I did. But recognizing that we're underrepresented in our community. And but I still wanted us to be able to have, you know, all the great opportunities I had as a kid. And thinking about that for all of the kids in St. Paul, is, you know, what we can provide for them so that they can reach their full potential as well. That's the really big thing that's been motivating me. And also knowing that we've never had an engineer on city council that I'm aware of, at least that I can remember. And, you know, that's what the city council does is provide a lot of those basic city services to us, like clean water and, making sure our roads are taken care of. And, right. You know, we should have someone with that professional background to help the city do the best job they can to deliver those services to our
Perfect.
People.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and then we'll let you go because we know you're very busy. Appreciate it. We're here with Sara Jost, and we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ho!
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex, you make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. Learn more about how Democrats are standing up for working families and small businesses at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org. Paid for by Minnesota AFL-CIO.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, thanks, Zoe. I hope I didn't wake you up there. Ho! Good one. Hey, we're here with Sara Jost, and she's a candidate for the St. Paul City Council Ward 3. And I know you got to get on the phone, and it's good to see you right now. But we're really excited to have you, and we're excited. And what kind of feeling do you have? Getting a lot of positive feedback? I think it's important that you've been here. your whole life, and or the person that you're going to take over, he also was a Central candidate, also went to St. Paul Central, which I think is kind of funny.
Yeah. Councilmember Tolbert went to Central, I think, a few years. He graduated a few years before me. Mayor Carter went to Central a few years before that. The Central community spreads far and wide, as I'm sure you know. We're all over St. Paul, and it's a great community to be part of. I'm really proud to be a Central graduate.
Yeah, me too. Really, me too. There's a lot of people. It's you know, Charles Schultz went to Central. Dave Winfield. You know, people like Stacey Robinson, who has two Super Bowl rings, and it's just weird too. This whole area where Highland, Creighton, and Central. There's like, if you follow baseball at all, there's four Hall of Famers there. So I followed a lot and. But so it's great to have you on. We only got a few more minutes because I know you got to get on that phone again. Let's hear your stump speech. You know, let's let people know your passion, because I have heard you speak, and it really made me feel good. It really made me the creator. I could feel my ancestors, my hair raise. it was good. So let us have it.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, you asked before about how the campaign is going, and I'll start my stump speech out with that. You know, the campaign is going really well. I've lived here my whole life, but I'm still learning so much about our community by talking to our neighbors. You know, we've reached out to several neighbors ahead of caucuses, hearing about issues that are important to them. And it's really driving us and bringing us together in order to come up with solutions to our shared problems. As I mentioned, my name is Sara Jost, and I'm a mom. I'm an engineer, and I'm a community leader here in Ward 3. And I've been involved in our community pretty much my entire life, and that's what's really driving me to serve the people in St. Paul. You know, I mentioned that some of the big things that are important to me are making sure that we can build up our city together. A lot of that, you know, based on our infrastructure as an engineer, but that we have a leader, that's someone that's going to help us do that. Someone that's going to bring us together. Someone that's going to listen to everyone. Someone that is going to, you know, come up with inclusive ways to solve problems. And then someone that's actually going to get these things done. And those are things that I've done personally in my life, you know, as I've been involved with our community on the McAllister Groveland Community Council. They're things that I've done professionally. I've worked on projects all across the state of Minnesota around, you know, engineering and infrastructure. And it's something, you know, that I also do. I teach at the University of Minnesota, and so I'm learning and constantly learning and teaching young people. And that really motivates me as well to run. And so, you know, I mentioned I've, you know, been doing these things my whole life here in Ward 3, and I'm ready to do them as the next city council member serving the people of St. Paul.
Wow. Yeah, I got the hair raising on my arm again. That's awesome. I really appreciate that. And I just, before I let you go, I want to ask Zoe. Zoe is a McAllister College graduate. She no longer lives in St. Paul, but she did live in St. Paul for quite a few years. Zoe, do you have any question or comment?
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Sara. It's really great to hear about your work, and it's really cool you're a teacher too, or educator as well. I think that's really important to have that represented in city council. I was just thinking about, you know, some of the conversations and decisions that the Minneapolis City Council has recently made that have been very hard when it comes to, you know, the indigenous community, with like the demolition of the Roof Depot station. And I guess where I was going with that was just thinking about, you know, where are social justice issues, you know, prioritized in your work, and like, what does that mean to you? I read a little bit about you too, and saw that you're very passionate about reproductive justice work. Could you speak a little bit to that?
To the reproductive justice work, or to more environmental justice?
Yeah, environmental justice, whatever social justice issues you feel like are most important, especially in the Ward 3 community.
Yeah, I think a few things that I think about, the reproductive justice comes from, you know, Highland used to have a Planned Parenthood that was there when I was growing up. And so we would often counter protest the protesters there trying to block people from getting reproductive care. I think, you know, maybe speaking to environmental justice, my parents were both environmental scientists. That's partially why I'm a civil engineer. And so it's really just part of my DNA in a way, thinking about our environment. You know, our house, for example, doesn't have any grass. We've never had grass, never mowed a lawn. We have native plants. I've been recycling since I was a kid. I'll carry something with me if it's not recyclable until I find somewhere to drop it off. It's very important to me. And I think when I think about the issues that are going on in East Phillips, for example, I was actually talking with some McAllister students about this earlier today at our meet and greet. It seems like something that continues to happen is that folks are disproportionately impacted by pollution. And, you know, we need to make sure that our cities are doing what we can to prevent those things from happening and bringing more awareness to those issues. Because especially as a civil engineer, I'm still learning, but I'm aware of the fact that there's lower air quality in different parts of St. Paul that have less trees, that have more pavements. That impacts, you know, people's health. And there's parks that are further away for some families to be able to take their kids to. Those types of issues are things I'm very passionate about. Other social justice issues, kind of my top three things. There's a lot of equity in infrastructure, which I just, you know, mentioned. Housing is really important to me, that we can provide safe and stable housing for everyone, no matter if you are a renter or a homeowner or you're looking to move to St. Paul. We have 40% renters in Ward 3, which is more than I thought it was. We have 50% renters in St. Paul, but 40% in Ward 3, that's a lot. And so we need to make sure that that we are continuing to provide more housing for people in St. Paul, just all across the board. We need more affordable housing, truly affordable housing. And the city, I would like the city to, you know, work to provide more funding for those types of programs. I mentioned infrastructure is important to me as well. And then the other, like, kind of big social justice issue I think about is how we can provide more equitable education for our kids. I am a mom, and we have some very large, you know, racial disparities when it comes to educational performance in the city of St. Paul. Comparatively to other cities, it's not very good. And so we need to make sure that we are doing what we can to close those gaps. I'll mention, you know, Robert, I don't know how many teachers you had that looked like you when you were in high school. I had maybe one, and that definitely, you know, played a big impact in terms of how I kind of felt about coming to school every day by the people that were teaching me. And so that's one thing that I think would be really great, is if we could encourage more diversity into our teachers and staff.
Yeah, perfect.
So lots of things. That was a long answer.
No, that was a great answer. And it's funny that we all pretended we were Italian or something because until the Religious Act came out in my junior year in 1978, and then all the Indians came out of nowhere. And it's like, what? You're Indian too? Meaning Native American, not to be confused with India. But that's a whole nother story. But, you know, we're going to end this right now. And that was a great, great question, Zoe. And you know, I'm excited to support you, and I'm excited to have you on again and make it a regular thing, because social justice is our middle name here on Native Roots Radio. So, again, thank you so much, Sara Jost, running for St. Paul City Council here. And I think it's always important to have our local people on, even though we're a national show, because this is where things get done, and you can reach out to your neighbor who's running for office and give him an earful. No, or ask him what's going on. Peeny Gigi, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really great to be here. I appreciate you inviting me into the space, and I look forward to hopefully coming on again.
Right on. You will. Definitely. Zoe books the guests, so you'll be on.
Great. All right, hey. Thank you so much.
Right on. Hey, up next, Angie Vig of Vig Guitars here on Snelling Avenue. It's another woman, an International Women's Day here at Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health, whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected...
The Shaw.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. 11 current or former East Cleveland police officers facing charges including assault, dereliction of duty, and violation of civil rights.
There have been criminal acts or a series of criminal acts committed by these officers of the East Cleveland Police Department. The citizens of East Cleveland deserve better. The public deserves better.
Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Michael O'Malley says that brings the total number of officers charged to 16 in the past 7 months. A Justice Department civil rights investigation into the Louisville, Kentucky Police Department has found a pattern of unlawful and discriminatory conduct. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
The report finds that LMPD uses excessive force, including unjustified neck restraints and the unreasonable use of police dogs and tasers.
The investigation was launched after the killing of Breonna Taylor in her apartment. The San Bernardino Sheriff's Office confirms 3 people have been found dead in welfare checks requested since the area's winter storm. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. New vaccination rules for Wisconsin schools and daycare centers covering shots for meningitis and chickenpox are likely going away. After a hearing yesterday, the co-chairman of the legislature's Joint Committee on Administrative Rules says those rules will be struck down soon. Governor Evers says he hopes the Wisconsin Supreme Court will take up the state's political map so it can come up with something more fair. New maps won't put Democrats in the majority, but he says he's okay with that.
If the makeup of the legislature is relatively close, it forces people to the middle. It forces people to compromise, and that's a good thing.
The winner of the race between Dan Kelly and Janet Protasiewicz will tip the ideological balance of the high court. The election is April 4th. In sports, the Bucks beat Orlando last night. The Badgers take on Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
At George Chambers Septic in Green Bay, we admire our area veterans. Whether they served in World Wars, Korea, or the Middle East, we know they deserve our compassion, especially those suffering from PTSD. Let's honor our vets by hiring them as they honored our country by serving it. At George Chambers Septic in Green Bay, we believe no veteran should struggle to make a decent living, and we honor all of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice in service to our nation. George Chambers Septic has been serving the community now for more than 35 years.
You know, I grew up hearing that women are bad with money. But like many of you, I spent years paying bills, managing checking accounts, and taking care of my family. So, turns out, women are pretty good with money after all. And now, I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. It's never too late to start, and there's a great website to help you. Check out WeSaySaveIt.org and jumpstart your retirement savings on your budget and your timeline. That's WeSaySaveIt.org, brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Visit Latunji's Palette for more info or stop by their Minneapolis location at 1400 Park Avenue South.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, good read there. Hey, we honor them too. Hey, we got Angie Vig of Vig Guitars, and we you're like listener of the year and guest of the year. Next thing we're gonna get is like advertiser of the year. Hey, welcome, welcome on the International Women's Day special here of Native Roots Radio, and thank you for coming on. And always great energy, Angie. How you doing?
Bonjour, Robert. Bonjour, Zo. Thanks for having me on for National Equay Day. That she was great too. I'm really glad that she's running for seat on city council. All these women are just really leading and having seats at the table, and it's just really great to see and to witness our rise.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's talk a little bit about your store here, and then also what you've been doing, because we talked a little bit, and you've been doing so much for the community. Let's talk about those guitars hanging from the ceiling there.
These are last time I had the electrics behind me, but this time I have the acoustics. Let me move my big head. And, we have electrics, acoustics. Our shop is on 595 Snelling Avenue North in St. Paul on Thomas and Snelling. And we've been here for 8.5 years. And we're the biggest repair shop in town. And then we sell stuff too. And my husband hand winds guitar pickups, like I told you before.
Yeah.
That differentiates every player's sound through their electric guitar bases. This is my shop, and this is what I do, and really involved with the community. Friday night we performed with Jimmy and the Band of Souls to raise money for a fundraiser for the AIOIC in Minneapolis for their Dakota Institute programs, and that was just so much fun, and it was great to network with people, the director of the AIOIC and the chair board. His name is Dr. Joe something. He was great.
Yeah.
It was so great to meet everybody and to perform for them and be a part of that. We raised over $2,000, I guess. So that was good.
Yeah, it's great.
And my husband and I really like to do fundraisers and pick programs and stuff like that.
So then you obviously play guitar too then?
No, I sing.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't play. I've been obsessed with guitars my whole life, but I can't play myself. But I sing I'm the head honcho here. Honcho. Right on.
There you go. Well, I know one song for sure on the guitar, and it's two chords, and it's from America. And it's two chords, that's it. So it's been through the desert with the horse with no name.
That's great.
So I like singing that.
You guys come in and play that.
Yeah, definitely. So what, we just had a guest on, a young warrior, and in our lifetime, we've seen so many people step forward and so many women stepping forward, Angie. It's really an exciting time for me to be alive to see this.
Yeah, for me, I remember when, when women couldn't even get phones in their name. that's in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And we finally just we get stuff done, and and we can multitask. it's just so great to see this. And I wish my grandmother was still alive, and because she today it's been 18 years she passed away. She would really be amazed and, you know, love all the women out there running for stuff. And
definitely. So. And it seems like, though, in my lifetime, sometimes we have to take two steps back to take three forward in the political realms. And we seem to be taking a couple steps forward again. And here in the state, we have the trifecta of the Democrats, and things are getting done like at unbelievable speed down there.
And I think it's because more women are involved.
Right.
You know, and I mean, look at Nancy. She's just, my goodness, she just hit the ground running. And she's just such a powerful representative for us and a great voice. And, you know, she's out there and not everybody can do that. And she's got quite the presence. I really enjoy seeing her on this show.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yes, we always get so many good comments about Nancy because she's the real deal, and she does it in a good way, too. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have State Senator Mary Kunish on Friday. We've had Heather Keeler on a bunch. You know, she'll be on again once the session slows down a little bit. And it's just, I can't imagine the pressure, the added extra pressure of being Indigenous, Native, and also being a woman in these places that aren't made for us or made for women and us Natives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a time to be alive, huh?
Yeah. What do you think, Zoe?
I guess I was just going to ask along the same lines of that, of, you know, how has that been for you, Angie, or how's the business going? Being a, you know, Native woman and a business owner is really incredible, and, you know, definitely another woman and another Kwe in the community to look up to. I just learned about your business today, and I'm really excited because my little sister and I both started learning guitar, so we'll definitely come check it out. But yeah, just more on, you know, what your journey's been like as a business owner, and I'm curious too what you did before you started the business.
Sure. So prior to opening, to just doing it, I worked for Rainbow Foods grocery store for 18 years. And that's where I developed all my skills to be able to run any store. I did everything, you know, it just didn't happen overnight. I acquired all these skills. And, you know, and then I went to the U of M you know, a lot of people just think they can open a business, and it's just, but then it takes a long time because they didn't acquire the skills that they needed, you know. Let's see, I think the biggest challenge for me here is when people call, they want to talk to a male. Oh. And that really bothers me. And it's just like that. And I hear, you know, I used to hear, not anymore, but I used to hear a lot of women say every time they would go into a guitar store that they were treated differently and almost treated like they didn't know what they were doing or they didn't know what they were looking for. Someone would hand them a ukulele and that they wanted to find an electric guitar, you know, or a bass. And so there's a lot of presumptions when women would go into the stores. A lot of women and really comfortable coming here, and they light up when they see me because it's like, oh, yay, a woman's here. You know, it's just, I really like to make people feel comfortable. We have a lot of customers and friends who, you know, are in the LGBT, I always mix that up, community, and they're, you know, they're very comfortable here, and we talk, and we, you know, sometimes we play music, and it's just a really good gathering place. Also, mm-hmm. You know, we always have coffee on. So come and get a cup of coffee and chit chat. Let's talk about music and life. And
that's great. Building community through business. Yeah. That's awesome. And great question, Zoe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Yeah, I was curious, you know, for our listeners, they can't see, you know, the store set up behind you. If you could explain a little bit about what you guys have, or maybe the layout. Do you have like a little stage area for people, or like how is the setup of your shop?
No, we have up front here, we have we have a couch, and this is where we gather in the front window. And we, you know, we'll jam and, but, you know, it is just a personal thing when you come here and, you know, you're not treated like just any old customer person. You know, we really want to talk to you and talk about your music and, you know, what you're playing right now and what you are looking for. And we try and help people out with that.
So what famous guitar player has come in there, or can you say? Because some people want to be low pro.
Joe Bonamassa has been here a few times. He usually comes in every time he comes into town. He is an avid guitar collector. He must have about 10,000 guitars, I would say. Oh, wow. Yeah. And Dave Perner of Soul Asylum has been here. Yeah, a lot of, I can't even think of who's all been here. Jay Maskus, he was here a couple months ago. He has his own jazz master. Fender jazz master guitar. And Shannon Kerfman, local Shannon Kerfman. Corey Medina.
Wow, we love Corey.
Oh my gosh, I just came home from up in Cass Lake. He played a free show at their casino up there, and I went up to that. It was my birthday weekend, so I went up to Leech Lake and then over to White Earth to see my mama.
We saw you at the fair at our store, Native Roots Trading Post, and there's a stage behind there, and somebody was rocking, and then I went to see who it was, and it was Mr. Medina, and he played there for 2 days, and then he went up north to Duluth and played at Winona LaDuke's concert, and I was just like, I love this guy.
Isn't he great? He'll be at the Minnesota Music Cafe in St. Paul on Friday, the 24th.
Wow.
It's going to be a great show. Yeah,
that is.
And he just got booked for the Gathering of Nations stage this year.
What? Yeah. Wow, that's isn't huge. Great? Well, Angie, give your address real quick here before we leave.
595 Snelling Avenue North, and we're on Snelling and Thomas in St. Paul.
Thank you so much for being on, and thank you for being a great listener too, and keep up the good work, and happy International Women's Day.
Oh, I forgot to do that last time.
Right on. Well, howl for you. Good to see you. We'll be right back after this short break. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Oake. See you in a bit. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
The Senior Linkage Line is a free statewide service of the Minnesota Board on Aging in partnership with Trellis. I have volunteered with seniors nearly 15 years, working alongside their compassionate team. I am honored to partner with Trellis as we help our elders find housing, compare costs of Medicare prescriptions, and learn how to avoid fraud and scams targeting seniors. We help our elders optimize well-being as they age, and we can help you too. Reach out today at trellisconnects.org.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. Learn more about how Democrats are standing up for working families and small businesses at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org. Paid for by Minnesota AFL-CIO.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
I'm trying to find the darn... There he is. Ho!
Ho!
Awesome.
That was a long one.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, great job, Zoe, for the interview and helping me out. Great questions. What a show, International Women's Day show. And, you know, supporting businesses, supporting our politicians. And, you know, you as a former, I shouldn't even say this, former student, because we're always life learners, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think what's really fun about this show is that we have such a diverse amount of guests from all over, and they're progressive, and they're giving, and we can't help but support them, Zoe.
Right. No, and it's great to be able to uplift and support, you know, Native-owned businesses, kind of like we were talking about yesterday with the Trading Post. I'm really excited to be able to go and visit Angie's store sometime, especially knowing it's one of the only guitar spots in St. Paul. And, you know, it's like, if I have a problem with my guitar, I was probably going to go to Guitar Center, but I'd way rather support, you know, a Native woman. So it's really cool. I wanted to ask her before she left, and, you know, maybe next time she comes on, I want to hear of any upcoming shows she has, because, you know, she's part of a band too, which is awesome.
Yeah. She's a singer, and that was great running into her. And we talked at the fair when we had Native Roots Trading Post out there, and she said that, you know, hey, blah, 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 so come support, you know. And I went, I know where that guitar place is. I drive by that all the time if I'm heading to the fair or that way to Goodwill out there. You can't go there, Zoe. There's a good Goodwill out there that way. But I won't tell you.
I already knew about that one. The secret's out.
But so to amplify, you never know. And it's like Robert Lilligren, when we're talking about when in 1978, when the Religious Act passed, that, you know, his school put on a little dinner for all the Native Americans. And it's just like, wow, I didn't know you were Native American. You know, it all kind of came out of hiding. And I feel that way, too, with the American Indian movement back in the 60s and early 70s, where they were a little more radical, but they were in your face and proud to be Native American.
Right. And it's really good to hear about what a big impact that legislation had, because I wasn't alive in 1978, so I can only imagine what it was like to not be able to practice our, you know, our traditions freely. And it's still a fight today, but I think, you know, a fight that's also sometimes taken for granted, and so it's important to uplift that story too, because it has it's a very recent development in, you know, Native American history that we're legally allowed to practice who we are, you know?
Well, you graduated within the last 10 years. What was it? Were you able to wear an eagle feather in your cap when you graduated?
You know, I
I could have, and a part of me really wanted to bead my whole, you know, graduation cap, but I just was simply way too burnt out. And I did wear one on my high school graduation, which was actually, I feel like, a bigger deal because I went to a really small, you know, Northern Minnesota school and a bit more conservative, not as welcoming of Native students versus McAllister. There's actually a drum group at my graduation, which was really beautiful. Definitely made me feel seen in that space, and they did an honor song. And so that was really incredible, but I didn't wear an eagle feather on my graduation cap because, you know, we all throw it up in the air and it's like, you know, right. You can't let your eagle feather touch the ground. But definitely, you know, was representing with my big earrings, and, you know, it's good to see the drum group was incredible. So I just can't talk about that enough. That's a really big deal for a place like McAllister to have something like that. But yeah, I think it's changed a lot even since I was in high school. I mean, my sister just graduated high school last year, and I just graduated from McAllister last year. And just looking at, obviously, her high school experience was very different than mine with COVID. But prior to her doing online school, just, you know, the thing she experienced in school was it was really hard for her, you know. And I think that's something in our family that we've had to talk about a lot, is having, you know, a white mother and a Native father. And Sadie and I look really different than each other, and we're treated very differently. Wow. In, you know, especially in education systems. So the same high school I went to had a decent, okay time, you know, semi-popular, did all the extracurriculars. She was not treated with the same amount of respect as I was, just because she looks slightly darker than me, which is crazy because, you know, we have the same mother. But that just goes to say there's a lot of work that still needs to be done for our youth, of course. But I think my sister and I and my family, we have really been able to see, like, the differences that a lot of movements like AIM and, you know, now we have MMIW awareness. Just those have had a huge impact on, you know, the short life I've lived so far. Shout out to all of our women you know, Indigenous people across Turtle Island for doing such incredible and important work every day.
Wow, well said. And I guess what I was leading towards, too, is I know just last year, St. Paul Public Schools here in Minnesota were able to smudge in the classroom. And I don't know, Zoe, if you know much about me, but I was a teacher and I had an all-Native homeroom, and we smudged all the time. But the comments that came out were really racist. You know, we had the automotive guy come out and say, "I smell pot," and you know, things that, you know, juvenile things like that, that didn't sit right. But it just, you know, everyone kind of shook their head. And I had students come in during the day that needed to smudge off because of whatever, whether it was a family issue or it was a friend issue or it was a teacher issue. And that's important. And not only that's important for us, but it should be important for everybody to get that time out to clear the air, so to speak, with the smudging or whatever.
Yeah, quite literally. Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't able to smudge in school. And I wasn't able to smudge the whole time I was at McAllister. Well, not the whole time, but the first 2 years I was living on campus, I couldn't use my medicines because that was actually an initiative we were starting to work on as the Indigenous Student Org at McAllister, trying to make a space for students to go smudge, because being in oppressive, you know, education systems all day is really stressful for everyone, and especially for, you know, Native students who don't have a lot of representation in those systems. So that's really incredible. And reminded me of when my sister was in high school, and, you know, she was very lucky to have Elder Mike Swan. He's up in White Earth. He was a teacher for a while there, and he was incredible. He made a huge difference for the students there because they felt like they had a safe space to go to, and, you know, almost like an honorary Native grandpa to be there, you know. So yeah, it's really important.
Yeah, and I have a lot of relationships with almost all my native students the last 10 years still, so that's good. Hey, Zoe, thanks for everything. You did a great job interviewing while I was sitting here with my mouth open trying to come up with a question. You did great. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier now, and we'll see you tomorrow. This has been Native Roots Radio Presents.
Hear that? When it's raining cats and dogs, your business can rain profits. Sponsoring the weather forecasts on your local civic media station will get your phone to ring.
Listeners pay attention to weather forecasts, and they'll pay attention to your message.
Act now, because we're slashing prices up to 50% on these premium sponsorships.
But the deals absolutely end March 15th.
Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather. Sponsoring our forecasts is the Cats Meow.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.